Today I'll be reading out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." This is the word of God. You may be
seated. So today we're going to be looking at this passage with Martha and Mary and their interaction with Jesus. I've titled the message, "Jesus, the One Thing." We're going to be looking at both being distracted from and also being devoted to Jesus as our one thing. We'll begin with distraction and we'll look at ways that we find ourselves losing focus on our relationship with Jesus. And then we'll look at devotion to Jesus as the one thing and three different instances where the phrase "one thing" is used in the Bible and how we can apply that to our lives. So how many of you here have been distracted before? Right? It's a common struggle for all of us. I have a distraction story that I'm going to share with you as we get started today. So follow along, put yourself in the place of this person that I'm going to share about. So let's say you are 19 years old. And you're supposed to be doing something pretty important. Very important, actually. You are in charge of watching two of your siblings. Your two-year-old sister who's taking a nap and your five-year-old brother. And, you know, at that age, these kids probably need pretty close attention, right? They need to be the one thing that you're focused on. And so as this person is watching their siblings, it's all good. And then their girlfriend comes over. So now there's some divided attention, right? You might have some distraction that's there, but it's not a big deal, I don't think. They wash the truck together, and the five-year-old's helping, and then they decide, we'd like to go out to Subway Caves. So they load up in the car, head out to Subway Caves from Bernie. And about halfway through the cave, as you're walking through the cave with a girlfriend and the five-year-old, you remember that you were watching two of your siblings. So needless to say, there's a mad dash back through the cave, down Highway 89, back into Bernie to get back to the house where thankfully the two-year-old sister is still asleep in the crib where she was when you left. Things can go pretty sideways when we lose focus on the one thing that we're supposed to be focusing on. Right? In this story, I was supposed to be focusing on my, I just admitted it. It was me. I was the one who lost focus on my siblings. I became distracted, right? Luckily, God's will was that nothing went sideways. But I lost focus. I got distracted. And I will tell you that my mom did not hear this story for at least 10 more years. I was married to my wife for a long time by then. And there was no ill effects. I'm sorry to my mom. Sorry to my sister Lydia. She had no separation anxiety or anything like that. She's married. She has three kids of her own. It's all okay. So the one thing that we're supposed to be focused on is Jesus, right? If he is not our foundation, as Ryan talked about 2 weeks ago, then we're going to become distracted, right? Nick talked about how Jesus is our good neighbor last week. Today, we're going to talk about how he should be the one thing that matters above all else. So let's pray as we get into God's word. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here today. Thank you for the freedom that we have to study your word together. I pray that you will open up our hearts, open up our minds to your word, to your leading, and what you would have us apply to our lives. God, I pray that I won't get in the way, that I won't be a distraction for what you want people to hear. Give me clarity, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice for us. Thank you for everything that you've done for us and continues to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the first time as we've gone through the book of Luke in this series that we've run into Mary and Martha. Who were Mary and Martha? We learn from this interaction and also if we look at other places in the Bible where they are talked about, a little bit about them. What we do know for sure is that they had a very personal relationship with Jesus. Not just Martha and Mary, but also their brother Lazarus. We know this by looking in John, where it says in John 11:5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in John 11:35, we have the shortest verse in the Bible, right? It's a verse that shows us a lot of passion from Jesus. It simply states, Jesus wept. And he wept in response to the death of Lazarus. So it shows that they had a deep relationship, but we don't know where it started. We don't know what their relationship was based on. We don't know when they became such close friends. And there will be more as we go further into Luke about Mary and Martha, but I don't want to steal from those messages or get distracted from the lesson that we have for today. So distraction, right? This right here, cell phone. How many of us, it's a distraction sometimes? You know, first service, I meant to put my phone in airplane mode. It's back in the back, and I didn't. And as soon as I got up here to start teaching, my watch starts buzzing and buzzing and buzzing because somebody was trying to call me. And I think it was a spam call designed by Satan to be a distraction right in the middle of this message. But the phone can distract us, right? That's one of the huge obvious distractions that there might be in our lives. And we're going to look at obvious distractions, and we're going to look at some more hidden distractions as we go through this. Let's look at our passage again today and read through that. Luke 10, 38 through 42 says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Our first point this morning is that we need to be not distracted from the one thing. We must guard against distraction from the one thing. When I say don't be distracted from the one thing, I'm talking about our relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about our understanding of who Jesus is and our dependence upon him as our foundation and as our means to salvation and eternal life. We're going to look at these two different categories of distraction. First, we're going to look at the obvious distractions, the things like our cell phone and things that might pull us away. But then we'll also look at hidden distractions. Any distraction that pulls us away from our relationship with Jesus is a problem that we need to guard against. So let's look at some obvious distractions. Obvious distractions would be things that are not in God's will, things that pull us away from that relationship with Jesus. We're going to look at a couple biblical examples where this has happened, and we'll see some of the things that we should be guarding against. In Matthew 13, we have that familiar parable of the sower. And as Jesus explains it to them, we're going to look briefly at the seed sown in rocky soil and the seed sown among the thorns. Jesus says that these two seeds, they hear the word, the truth, and they might believe at first, but then there's distraction that pulls them away. The distractions that are mentioned there are tribulation and persecution, as well as the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus knows that these are things that we're going to struggle with. These are things that are going to be distracting to us and pull us away in our walk with him. He doesn't want this to happen, so he gives us this warning through this parable. Unfortunately, we all know that sometimes it does happen. We've known people in our lives who walk away from their faith. And we can see an example in the Bible in 1 Timothy where Paul is writing to Timothy, and at the end of his letter, he mentions this man named Demas. And he says here that Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas was distracted by the world around him, by the things of this world. Another example of someone who was distracted by their old life and by the past is Lot's wife. Right? They were specifically told in Genesis 19 to flee and not look back at all. She looked back and she was immediately turned into a pillar of salt. I think that shows us the consequences that there can be there when we lose focus of the one thing that God wants us focused on. You know, our world is full of countless distractions. Satan wants to use these things to pull us away from the one thing we should be focused on. For each of us, they're probably different. Right? These obvious distractions could be the pursuit of money, could be a devotion to your career, could be chasing after fun or living your life for the next high. It could also be just the overall busyness of your life. If any of these obvious things are pushing Jesus out of his rightful place, then we need to guard against them. These distractions all result from our priorities being off. When Jesus gets placed behind things that don't really matter for eternity. So those are the obvious distractions. What about good distractions? Is there such a thing as a good distraction? These so-called good distractions we're going to call hidden distractions. And these hidden distractions are things that might appear to be the right thing. They might appear to be the right choice for you in your life. And then in often small and sometimes subtle ways, they begin to distract us from Jesus. Often we might not even realize that it is happening until we have lost our focus on Jesus as the number one thing in our life. So hidden distractions. When we think about Martha and the situation that we have in our passage today, we see that Martha is actually doing something good, right? Martha is distracted by much serving. She's taking care of the things that go along with inviting people into your home. She's probably doing what a lot of us would be doing if we were in her place. And Jesus isn't saying here that serving is bad. He's not saying that being involved in ministry is bad or that doing any of these things is bad. But they can become a problem when our focus on that takes over where our focus should be on Jesus. So you could say that Martha was distracted by something good, but the problem is that anything that distracts us from Jesus as the one thing can't be called good. Right, most of us here, it looks like, probably drive vehicles. There's a few who are too young to drive, but we drive vehicles. What should you be focused on when you're driving a vehicle? The road, right? Your car, other cars, what's happening out there, right? You should be focused on that as your one thing when you're driving. A couple weeks ago, I had to make a quick trip down to Fairfield, and as I was driving down there, I was listening to a couple messages about these passages, and I heard something that I really liked that I wanted to look into a little bit more later, and so I wanted to jot down a couple notes on a piece of paper. So that's something good. I was prepping for the message, right? But I should have been focused on the road. The one thing that I should have focused on right then, I divided my attention. So as I divided my attention, I'm trying to write down these notes. I wasn't paying complete attention to the road, and I kind of drifted a little bit over that fog line, and I hit the rumble strip, right? That's there to warn you. Brrr, when you hit that thing. I corrected my car, got right back on the road, and there was no real problem that happened. But what it did was get me thinking about Martha and Jesus and his warning against these distractions. If that rumble strip wasn't there, I might have found myself in a bigger situation, right? I might have gotten in trouble, could have crashed my car. There could have been a lot worse. But that rumble strip was there to get me back on track, to remind me the most important thing I should be focused on is driving. Jesus was that rumble strip for Martha. He lovingly rebuked Martha. He called her out and wanted her to come back into the most best place she could be, which was that relationship with him as the most important thing, the number one thing. You know, there's an interesting thing that we can look at here about the way that he addresses Martha in verse 41. He says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." And as I looked into this and I looked in the Bible, there are only six other places in the Bible where God or Jesus spoke to somebody using their name twice. The other people that are addressed this way are Moses, Abraham, Samuel, Simon Peter, Jacob, and then Saul right before his conversion and name change to Paul. In each of these other instances, the individuals were being taught a big lesson. They were being called in a different direction with their life. Jesus loved Martha. He wanted that close relationship with her. He was lovingly rebuking her and redirecting her towards what really mattered, towards himself. And I think that Jesus' words to Martha are a great challenge to anyone that is serving in any ministries. Each of us should be thinking about and evaluating our lives and our relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we get busy with good things, with really good things, right? With teaching Sunday school, with volunteering in the church in many different ways, with serving in our community. Now, it's even true for those who are in full-time ministry. Pastors can get so busy serving the church, shepherding the church, that they sometimes will lose focus on and not set aside that time for Jesus as the one thing. There are many ways that we get busy in our lives. But I believe what Jesus wants us to understand here is that our relationship with him has to come first. He values a relationship with us over the results from us. He wants intimacy with us over the implementation of new programs. He wants our presence with him more than he wants our performance or our presentations for him. Sometimes we say yes to serving and we find ourselves so busy that it's hard to say yes to Jesus, to time with him. I've found this true in my life many times as I've served in high school ministries. And the ironic truth is, if Jesus is not the number one focus that we're centered on, All those other ministries are going to struggle. They're going to have a harder time. They're going to fall short. But if Jesus is that number one thing on our priority list, you'll see fruit in many other areas of your life. Now, I don't know about each of you, but I know that if I think about the things in my life that are distractions or have been distractions, I have to admit that I feel a little guilty. Jesus called out Martha for serving Jesus. And often, I'm serving myself. That's my distraction, is serving something for my own self. So we need to guard ourselves against the obvious big distractions that are obviously not good for us, but we also need to guard ourselves against the hidden distractions, the things that might be disguised as something good in the beginning. And I think one of the best ways to guard against these distractions is to live with devotion to Jesus as our one thing. That's our second point, live with devotion to the one thing. You know, they say that the best defense is sometimes a good offense, right? That's in sports. And I think this rings true here for us. If we live our lives with devotion to Jesus as the number one thing, we will already be guarding ourselves against the distractions that will inevitably come along. But in order to live our lives with devotion to Jesus as the one thing, we must first realize our need for him. Each of us is born a sinner. We know this from Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But then Romans 6:23 says, the wages of that sin, what we deserve because of that sin is death, eternal separation from God. This verse ends, though, with God's promise of the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. And if we look at a passage further on in Luke, which we're not going to spend much time there because we don't want to steal anything from later on, but Luke 18:18-23, this is the story of Jesus and the rich ruler. And it says, and a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus says, one thing is lacking, choosing to follow him. He uses this phrase, one thing, and that's what we're going to look at in three different places in the Bible. One thing you lack. This ruler had been trying hard to obey, trying to keep commandments. Sounds like he had probably done a pretty good job. Jesus says, you're lacking one thing, and it's a relationship with me. He tells him, get rid of the distractions. Sell what you have. Unburden yourselves from the things of the world. And come follow me. Unfortunately for this man, this was hard. This was too much, what Jesus was asking him to do. His devotion was to his possessions. Each of us is given this choice. We can choose to follow Jesus. We can place our faith in him as our Savior and acknowledge that his death on the cross is the only thing that covers our sin and brings us back to that right relationship with God. We are born lacking the same thing that this ruler was lacking. We lack that relationship with Jesus. But he says, follow me to each of us, just like he said to that man. You know, when we think about our passage today and Martha, she kind of gets a bad rap. You know, she's called out by Jesus, reprimanded for serving. But if we look at John 11:20-27, this is where Lazarus was sick and dying, and they called Jesus to come there. We can see that Martha actually had the understanding, knowledge, and faith in who Jesus was. It says, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha had taken this step in faith. She has chosen to follow Jesus. And my prayer today is that each of us here has done this. But if that's something that you haven't done and you have questions about it, talk to me, talk to one of our elders, talk to whoever invited you to come to church today. Talk to somebody that you know follows Jesus, and let's answer your questions. The first thing we have to do is enter that relationship with Jesus. Choose to follow Jesus. The next thing, we're going to look at verse 42, Jesus' words to Martha. He says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So one thing was lacking, and that was the relationship with Jesus. Now one thing is necessary, and it's prioritize pursuing Jesus. Prioritize pursuing Jesus. You know, Martha was irritated. She's serving alone. I'm sure all of us who have hosted gatherings for family have been stuck in a situation similar to this, where we're doing all the work, and somebody else is having all the fun, or somebody else is doing what we would rather be doing, and we're serving. And so we can understand Martha's thought process here. But Jesus says, Mary is focusing on the one thing that matters. It's not going to be taken away from her. She is prioritizing pursuing Jesus. So that should be the number one thing in our lives. If there's other areas that we move into that number one thing that should be reserved for Jesus, we need to fix that. We need to guard against it. If we place other things at that number one spot, all other areas of our life will probably end up struggling, not being as fruitful as they could be. Nothing is as important as this relationship. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're to be doing everything we do with Jesus in our thoughts. That thought right there should be convicting, right? Everything we do, we should be thinking about each and every decision we make, whether they're in step with Jesus' will for our lives, how they reflect his glory. How are the decisions that we make going to affect our testimony to the world around us as we try to be a light for him? He should be on our mind in each aspect of our day. Now, I'll be the first to admit that that's not always my approach to life. I don't always do that. But as I've studied this passage and spent the last month and a half just contemplating it, I've been trying to change my thoughts right at the beginning of the day. I've been forcing myself to wake up and think Jesus first. I've sang the old tune to myself, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what happens, no matter what I have on my plate for that day, Jesus first. And I can tell you it works. Now, if I put Jesus at the front of my thoughts right at the beginning of my day, I have a much easier time seeing God at work throughout my day. I have a much easier time avoiding the distractions that are inevitably going to come along. Those distractions want to pull me away. Jesus is saying, prioritize me. So as we looked at how we can live our lives devoted to Jesus, we see that we have to choose that relationship with Jesus first. We have to prioritize pursuing him. And then we'll get our next one thing statement from Paul in Philippians 3:13-14, where it says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing to do, press on towards Jesus. Once we have that relationship with him, we're prioritizing him, we need to continue to press on. It's not going to be easy. Paul wants us to forget the past. Let go of the failures. Let go of the things that you've done wrong and realize that you are changed and you are new through Jesus. You know, Paul is a guy I can relate to. In a lot of his writings, he used metaphors for sports, right? And I enjoy sports, not the end of the World Series, but he talked about running races. He talked about boxing. He talked about receiving a perishable crown when you win. He talked about playing by the rules so that you don't get disqualified. And what I like about all of these is that it shows the work that's involved, right? For an athlete to achieve their goals, they have to be dedicated. They have to be devoted. They have to push on past distractions. And it's the same in our life as a Christian. We're going to have these things that want to pull us away. We're going to have many distractions, and we have to press on towards Jesus. Sometimes you'll get discouraged. You'll get frustrated. But we can guard against those distractions, and we can live with devotion to Jesus as our number one. And we can press on towards the goal of eternity with Jesus. You know, Paul challenges there to forget what lies behind. The old life, all the stuff in the past, the things that want to drag us back down. Let them be in the past. Don't look back, right? Lot's wife failed at this. She looked back and got turned into that pillar of salt. Her past life was a distraction for her. So the challenge that I have been giving myself for the past month and a half, and what I want to give you is this. What is your one thing? Evaluate your life, right? Be honest with yourself. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes because we fail. Where's your focus? What are your priorities? Are you distracted by some of the obvious distractions? Things like job, money, status, the old life? Are you distracted by some of the hidden, possibly good distractions? Serving in the church, being a parent or a spouse, serving the community. If we are honest with ourselves, and we should be willing to be, Jesus isn't always our one thing. Admitting that is hard, but I think it's necessary in order to take steps to go towards that. So have you chosen to follow Jesus? Do you have that relationship with him? If not, what's stopping you from doing that today? Make that choice. If you've committed to following Jesus, are you prioritizing pursuing him daily? What needs to change? How can you grow in that? And if you're doing those things, that's awesome. Press on, right? Continue to fight against distraction, against the things of this world. We have to remember that Jesus is more interested in our presence over our performance. He wants a relationship with us over results from us. He desires intimacy with us over implementations by us. He wants to know us, not just be known by us. Now, Jesus isn't interested in us going through the motions of the Christian life without the meaning, right? The meaning is him. It all centers on Jesus. So as we get close to wrapping up, I have a bonus one thing for you. And this one comes from Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 27, 4, David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The end result of living a life following Jesus and pursuing that relationship with him is dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus wants and deserves to be our one thing. So will you guys join me in fighting to make Jesus your one thing? Pray with me as we close. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for just the great application we can have as we look at this interaction with Martha and Jesus. God, I pray that we will make you our priority, that we will place the cares of the world and the things that we're involved in and all the busyness of life where they belong, behind you. God, we struggle with that, and we need your help. Thank you for each one here today. Thank you for the ability that we have to be a church body, to come together. Thank you for the opportunity to observe communion together. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked Nathan Warner to come lead us in communion today.